The following podcast is for information purposes only and is not suitable for retail investors.
Hello and welcome to your Chat of the Week podcast. Today is Thursday the 1st of June and I'm once again joined by Lorenzo LaPosta.
Hello Ben, hello to our listeners and thank you very much for having me.
Now, on previous episodes, we've discussed the fact that record high levels of US consumer credit card debt may indicate that the pent-up savings from the pandemic may be running out. However, the $986 billion of credit card debt represents only about 5.8% of total household debt. Lorenzo, with US household debt reaching $17 trillion at the end of the first quarter of 2023, what exactly is driving all this borrowing?
Well, Ben, that credit card debt that you mentioned is very important to be aware of, especially given that consumption has been the sole driver of US growth so far. But an arguably better way of measuring the financial health of the US consumer is to look at the very important housing market. Roughly 80 million mortgages on homes make up 70% of that $17 trillion debt figure that you mentioned. And for many Americans, actually, their homes are their most valuable assets. So what that means is that changes in home prices are very closely linked to how consumers feel financially, let's say. Rising home prices generate a wealth effect for consumers, and that in turn helps drive consumption elsewhere. And besides, falling home prices can cause serious problems for the U.S. economy as a whole, as we saw about 15 years ago during the 2008 recession.
Okay, so if the health of the housing market is so important to U.S. consumers, then why have we not seen more pressure on these consumers as mortgage rates have risen alongside interest rates?
It's a good question. You'd definitely expect consumers to be feeling a bit more of a burden, especially when the average offered mortgage rate has risen from as low as 2.9% about 2 years ago to 7.3% where it is today. And yet, U.S. households have so far remained, you know, unfazed. This is because while the rates that lenders are currently offering are a lot higher than what they were 2 years ago, that doesn't affect the cost of fixed rate mortgages that have already been taken out. And the US mortgage system is quite unique globally in that the dominant mortgage product that is being offered is a 30 years fixed rate mortgage, which once taken out stays at the same rate until the term ends or the mortgage gets refinanced. So when rates were down to below 3%, households jumped at the opportunity to secure a mortgage at such a low rate. And as rates rose, the rate of refinancing fell to about 10% of what it was when rates were a lot lower. So that tells you that the large number of households that locked into very cheap, low-rate mortgages were then completely unaffected by the Fed's aggressive rate hikes.
Okay, so households are protected against higher costs on their mortgages. But with, as you mentioned, the current mortgage rates being so high, can we not expect a complete collapse in demand for houses and then with it a fall in house prices?
Well, I guess that's fair, but we have to remember that it takes two parties to make a market. So while demand has fallen due to higher mortgage rates, also the supply of houses for sale has been falling sharply because households that locked into extremely favorable rates are going to be really unwilling to give those up. So last month, we saw a 25% year-on-year decrease in the number of houses being sold, not just because demand had fallen, but also because no one wanted to sell in the first place. So house prices were down over the same period, but only by 4.1%. This much smaller decline than many would have expected, and just another reason why consumers are still in a very healthy position financially. So with rates now expected to remain higher for longer, that burden will continue to slowly be passed on to households in time. But you know, after just 1 year of aggressive rate hikes, the US consumer continues to be best placed to weather the consequences.
Well, Lorenzo, as always, thank you for the fantastic insights and looking forward to talking next week.
Thank you very much, Ben, and speak soon.
for professional advisors only. The views expressed are those of Momentum Global Investment Management at the time of recording and are subject to change without notice. Momentum Global Investment Management has used all reasonable efforts to ensure the accuracy of the information contained in this communication, but we cannot guarantee the reliability, completeness, or accuracy of the content. This podcast is for information purposes only and does not constitute investment advice or an offer or solicitation to buy or sell. Momentum Global Investment Management, company registration number 3733094, has its registered office at the Rex Building, 62 Queen Street, London, EC4R1EB. Momentum Global Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority in the United Kingdom, registration number 232357, and is exempt from the requirements of Section 7(1) of the Financial Advisory and Intermediary Services Act 37 of 2002 in South Africa, in terms of the FSCA FAIS Notice 141 of 2021, published on the 15th of December 2021. For complaint relating to Momentum Global Investment Management's financial services, please contact distribution services at momentum.co.uk. Your capital is at risk.